The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
This Memorial Monday, Memorial Day Monday, and a lot could be said about that. What's it mean? Why does it even exist? If we were left to our own devices, would we even have a Memorial Day? In other words, would we have engaged in two world wars and God knows how many others? How many people have had to die because of the bankers? How long does this go on? So it's not something to celebrate, it's something to note that all of our men and women who have died in combat and those good citizens on both sides, civilians and troops on the other side, there are some fine people on both sides in these wars that are orchestrated and fought over absolutely nothing but greed and money. Nothing. We wouldn't do it if we were left to our own. Charlotte Thompson Iserbeet is there, I can tell by that little cough. How are you, Charlotte?
Well, I'm probably about as well as you are, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we had quite a day today. Agree more with what you've said. Encapsulate. Is that a word? You have really encapsulated the situation perfectly. And there's so many different subjects that come under that, you know,
right.
And they're very philosophical, and people can argue them, you know, is war always bad? Is it ever right? Or, I mean, it's theological questions, political questions, and financial, of course.
Right.
So
look what we have here, Charlie. Excuse me. Look what we have here.
Right.
The greatest generation fought the Great War, World War II, and what we have to look to is our greatest general, General George Patton. He figured it out. He said we fought the wrong enemy. It was all crap. He knew it, and they killed him for it.
People said Google. I hate to use the word Google.
It's a verb.
In relationship to General Patton, but they really ought to look him up. Get educated, people, please. It's not too late. I think a lot of young people are... When I say it's not too late, I've been saying that for so long, I'm beginning to wonder if I'm a broken record, and maybe the record is incorrect, but you're right. And tonight is a very difficult night for our family because it's the anniversary of my son, you know, U.S. Marine, combat Marine in Gulf War I, being, they tried to take him out in Portland, Maine, exactly 2 years ago. And for those who really like to hear the essence of stories like that. Mothers, especially, there's always some reason for you being waked up at a weird hour. At 12:30 a.m., May 31st, 2016, for some reason, I don't usually wake up at 12:30 a.m., I got up, and I was wandering around in the kitchen, don't know what I was doing, but the phone rang, and it was a doctor at Maine Medical Center in Portland, Maine, who had just completed trauma surgery on my son, Samuel, who I just referred to as my Marine son that was in Gulf War I combat, and returned without any injuries, right? It was
visible injuries.
To him finishing surgery on my son's femoral artery that had been blasted by an individual in Portland, Maine, that night, 3 hours earlier. And he said, it seems that we've managed to save him, and you may want to come down. Can you imagine?
You just
may
might
want to come down.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, yes, I was in shock, and I went down, and most of my friends know the rest of the story, but the story is told on your internet site today, and the story basically relates to our concerns for the country. Of course, every mother is concerned for any of her children, but our basic concern, since we've been totally unsuccessful in attempting to get justice here, our concern is that the justice system in our country now is broken, and Americans have got to wake up to the fact that without a justice system, we have a totalitarian system. And the justice system hangs on protection of our Constitution. And all of my son's rights under the Bill of Rights, just about all, were violated by the judicial system in the state of Maine. And I believe there are people out there who can relate to this because they may have been through similar things. I know that there was the incident in Detroit, Michigan, with a Marine Corps, an active Marine Corps officer, not officer, but, you know, regular guy, who was shot in January of this year, I believe. And I saw the most recent news on him is that he may get 10 years in jail for having been shot, sort of like Sam, for having been shot and then being accused of defending himself.
Yeah.
You might want to Google that. I think you can just type in Detroit, Michigan, U.S. Marine shot, charged. And so something's wrong. I mean, if that doesn't tell you something's very wrong, I don't know what will.
Charlotte, these are but two reflections of a country that is, I think, unfortunately, beyond broken. It is being reconfigured according to the just us system that the powerful 1% seem to have decided is what we need. It runs from the local municipal courts all the way up. Look at Gorsuch's recent decision regarding the immigrants, for God's sake. He's just tied the courts up for years and years and years that no immigrant can be exiled from this country, deported without a day in court. What the hell kind of a conservative justice is that?
Yes. No, it just, as you say, the whole thing has been flipped. I think the turning point was the year 2000. I really do. Something happened there where anything related to tradition, whether it's cultural or religious or whatever, even traditional warfare, and the judicial system has been completely wiped. And we're moving into this new world disorder, which I want to mention that I do believe that they up there, I call them on the 135th floor of Rockefeller Center, they really expected to get this in 1976 when, I don't know, over 100 congressmen voted in the Declaration of Interdependence. they expected it a lot earlier. And at this point, I'd like to mention the wonderful servicemen and women who we are thinking of tonight and praying for tonight and thanking for their service to our country. They were not alone in keeping, in forestalling this horrible situation we're looking at today. There were also great patriots that I put right in with these great service people that we have, who were fighting a very difficult battle right here in the United States against the very evil that our servicemen thought they were fighting, which actually they weren't, but they thought they were protecting the Constitution. Many of these individuals, some of them I've known, some of them I didn't have the privilege of knowing, but there's a long list, and I believe that today all of your listeners should be thinking in terms of not just the military. My son in law, but fortunately he was saved, but who died for the United States Constitution, but for many Americans who have never been recognized because the media has absolutely wiped them off or never even looked at their names because they didn't want anybody to know. There were thousands of brilliant patriots fighting since the early 1900s and writing books, and many of them are on my son Sam's website, AmericanDeception.com. I think, of course, I almost forgot to mention the number one, and Sam said to me, Mom, you've got that marvelous list there, you know, with Maureen Heaton and Arch Roberts, Colonel Arch Roberts, and many others, but you forgot Gary Allen. And I said, oh, my goodness, how could I forget Gary Allen, who wrote the book None Dare Call It Conspiracy, which is probably a bestseller, probably way up close to where the Bible is. It is out there now. None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Gary Allen, the late Gary Allen. And so we had, I could name probably 100 or 200 myself. I've probably known 25 of them. They're gone. And they were boycotted. And they were fighting. They were fighting a war that nobody knew they were fighting, and their neighbors didn't understand why they were always fussing around, you know, with faxes or whatever, trying to get the word out that the United States was on the road to communism. And, of course, that was, you know, regional government.
Right.
And you have
right.
that good cartoon up, I think, yeah. on consolidation, which was in my book, in a wonderful cartoon by Joel Pett. Consolidation, regionalism, is communism. And I have that article by the socialist, we'll call him a good socialist, professor out of the University of Southern California, San Diego, written in the early 70s. It was in the Daily World, the communist newspaper, saying the United States is moving too slowly towards regionalism. And so that's what we've got now. We have regionalism all over, but the American people, through no fault of their own, have been completely buffaloed. They don't know what regionalism is. They don't even know what the Constitution is. But regionalism, which sounds nice, sort of, is communism. And it's going in all over the country with smart cities, with all the UN Agenda 2030, with the community-oriented policing system, public-private partnerships, which I've spoken about often with you, Jeff. I was the liaison with the White House, Reagan's right. White House, on that.
Right.
Public-private partnership, the best title you can give is corporate fascism. We don't like that either, right? So we're not an ism country. United States has never been considered an ism country. We're not going to be communism, fascism, whatever ism you've got. And we're losing it, or we probably have pretty much lost it. And all this, you know, diversion that we are constantly surrounded by, that we started out with Common Core, was the biggest diversion to keep people from looking at... tax-funded private education and charter schools, which will do away with our elective form of government, which basically is very important as well. And so that was the big diversion, Common Core, which we've had since 1965, when the Elementary and Secondary Education Act was formed. All the goals, and as said, it's all in my book, Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, all the goals were set. They haven't changed. The only thing that's changed is now they have the computer, and they can track our children's values, attitudes, et cetera. But nothing is new. So the Common Core battle that raged around the world, actually, and was media got a hold of, and they diverted us. So that's diversion. I don't want to forget my devil's seven-prong fork, which now has 12 prongs a week before the end of the interview. I do want to get through that seven.
That's a big one. Okay.
Yeah, it is a biggie. So basically, what I'm trying to say is that this is very serious. I believe I want to make very clear here that dissension, too, and to split us up, to me, that is probably, they have to do that in order to justify their police state. When we all get so mad at each other that we start doing bad things.
Oh, that's absolutely the mechanism.
They can come in, and then they will implement the police state. And I've been looking at this lately, Jeff. In the 60s, there was a foreign service officer, Department of State, so this was in an article by Edith Kermit Roosevelt, the granddaughter of Theodore Roosevelt. And she was a wonderful American. And this article was interesting. It said that the State Department back in the 60s, this fellow, his name I can't recall, said that the road to world government and disarmament and all, taking our guns, etc., the way they would do it, it's through the creation of a crisis, and then we'd all scream for the UN to come in and save us. Well, what I'm seeing right now is they're not doing it that way. They're just doing it on the ground.
Right in our
face.
Right
in front of us.
Right in our face. Yeah.
Implementing the police state right in front of us, in our face. You know, like you can't see through your nose. So it's the same idea,
but
we don't have to call for the UN to come in because they're bringing the foreign troops in. They're bringing, it's Portland, Maine, you saw that. Our police chief is hiring, they do have a green card, I guess, but hiring foreigners.
Can you believe this, dear friends?
I
mean, I'm being facetious here.
I think back to the wonderful police officers that I happen to work with during this ordeal, right? They must be, these detectives, there are good, very good people in the United States police force. I mean, whatever, our local ones I'm talking about. There are still good ones there. And I can't believe, what are they going to do? I can just see this one detective sergeant that was so honest with me dealing with somebody from Russia or China or Somalia or whatever who's on his police force. I mean, how are we
going to do these are non-citizens, have no knowledge. They certainly have no intellectual or moral connection to our country. They don't care. They're not citizens. And these police chiefs, like the one you're talking about, give them the authority, authority to kill us, the power of life and death over human beings. This is insane.
This is the same police chief that was involved in our Sam's incident. But what I'm trying to say here is I could be very angry with, and I am. I'm more angry with the media, I think, than anything else because they refuse to cover.
It's not our media, Charlotte.
Yeah,
it's not our media.
They wouldn't touch it, not main media or national. And I'm much more angry with them, controlled, about them not covering this story. Because it's not my son's story, really. He's just a victim of the system. And it's a story that all Americans should should have, because it's probably going on in your backyard, but it's not being reported. And this march, they're really on fast track now. And I pray constantly. I was thinking to myself today when you and I were going through all this turmoil, right? I was thinking, you know, if I were an atheist, which I'm not, what's been going on lately, and especially in our own lives too, here personally, I would become a Christian so fast without even asking any questions. I just say, there's some place to go for refuge, maybe?
Right, right.
Because the country, well, I got a lot of friends, they've all got problems. They're all facing difficult times right now, and I am absolutely positive. I never really, you know, I used to think Satan, yeah, okay, yeah, there's a lot of evil out there, but there's really nothing called Satan, blah, blah. No! He's on a rampage.
Yeah.
He's on a rampage, and we've got to get our ducks in a row and face facts. If that's the case, what's the other side? There is a place to go. And we have to start thinking seriously about that. I believe if I weren't had been an atheist, you know, after the past few years and looking at what's happening, I wouldn't have had any problem whatsoever. I wouldn't have to read all the, you know, the gospel and,
oh, I understand,
and the New Testament.
100%
what
you're
saying. I wouldn't have
to
do it. You know, I just say, please, thank you, let me in.
That's it. That's it.
Unlock that door. So... we're having this conversation on an important day, and as I said before, basically, I was thinking about the other night how I was going to deal with this, because it's a difficult one to deal with at this time. And I think Americans have got to understand there was an army, not U.S. military, an army of great American patriots that did all the groundwork and kept this from happening. And the list is long, and I want to, and I was figuring maybe I could have a concrete memorial or something put up in the backyard here on the river with all their names. I thought, that's going to cost me a lot of money. You know, I don't think I can do that. But we could do it on the Internet. I think these people have got to be recognized. And there are about 200 or 300 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dead now. And they were the army in the United States fighting exactly what our troops abroad thought they were fighting for, the Constitution. And we have to recognize both our military, who've given the greatest sacrifice, died for that marvelous piece of paper, and those who've been injured. And but at the same time, a lot of listeners out there may not know about this huge army of great Americans who came before, who gave up a lot of their lives to fight this incredible battle that's going on right now.
Very well said. Very well said. Yep. Hold on, Charla. I have to pause here for a little break. We'll come right back. Lots to think about already in just this first half hour. We will be back. Look for Iserbeat in the Rents headlines, and you'll find her essay she's talking about, and underneath that, the cartoon she alluded to. You'll find them easily. Just look for Iserbeat, and they'll both be right there. And we'll be right back. Continue on this Monday with Charlotte Thompson Iserbeat, who is, if there is a senior stateswoman in this country trying to let us all peer into the darkness that is encroaching all around us, it is this wonderful woman who has served this country, talk about service, for a long, long time from many different perspectives. Our problem, Charlotte, to me, is... they gave us this internet, but very cleverly bought it all, created it all, and own it all as independent businesses. This isn't a government internet. We have no rights beyond that which they will give us in terms of, well, it's our business. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. We'll post what we want. We'll print what we want, no matter what you think. We'll erase your entire YouTube channel with 2,000 videos, and you're out of luck, pal, because it's our company. We own it. So we don't have access, true access to the internet, to the extent that we should. We don't have any access to the so-called mainstream media that is supposedly there to serve us like our rotten criminal government. So everything is asked backwards, and I'll stop there.
Well, you know what? I want to order some of that Elevate that you just advertised.
Oh, good.
I'm a big coffee drinker.
Oh, this stuff is I'm hearing fabulous things.
I don't mean to get off the serious. Maybe I do for a few minutes, but that sounds like a fantastic. Hey, folks, I don't have any stock in that company.
No,
it's just after listening to Jeff telling me that it's going to do everything under the sun, and yet I love coffee, so it might stimulate my brain. I don't know that I need it anymore. But anyway, getting back to serious issues, yes. I mean, the controlled media, how on earth can you fight a battle when you have, and really, Jeff, now there are very few even internet sites, which supposedly are meant to be, in the old term, you know, conservative, they no longer are. And you know it, and I know it. And so even without the help of the people on the 135th floor at Rockefeller Center, these people that traditionally were doing a good job, they seem to have been softened up a bit, too.
Yeah, serving
so
a different master.
Not much left, not much left for the American people to get the truth. And I don't want to forget to do my Devil's Seven-Prong Fork, because I know everybody always liked that.
No, please do. We have enough time. Yeah, it's now growing.
You have enough time. I'll tell you how this happened. About 15 years ago, I was doing a radio interview and, you know, beating up on the poor listeners always. Don't you understand? Please understand. This is what's happened, et cetera, et cetera. And I do it all the time. And I finished one of those interviews, and I sitting there, and I thought to myself, oh, those poor people. I just keep doing this over and over again, and all of a sudden, like, it was a bolt out of the sky. This came to me, whatever this message was, and said, it's not their fault. And I thought, it's not their fault? What's going on here? And then suddenly, I had this, whatever, you know, understanding that the devil was very active. And I named seven prongs. It started with seven. I think I've got 13 now.
12 at least.
But, yeah. So I'd like to go through this for people and help them to understand what happened. Now, the original fork, we'll go through that, has, the last few years, it's really increased. The number has increased, I think, from seven to 12 or 13. And the original fork, this was back in 1995 probably, was gradualism, you know, the frog in the cold water. You heat it up slowly until the frog is dead. And semantic deception. So many of us know, I do think, understand that the use of words that sound so good to us.
That's a phrase I don't hear. I don't hear that phrase often enough. In fact, that may have been the first time I've heard those words properly put together. Semantic deception. Yes, it's the corrupting of words and word meanings to soothe and placate the masses. Well, semantic deception.
I have a good example of that. When I was at the local school board, the superintendent, major change agent, he was trying to get a values clarification program in. And I fought it like mad, and actually we were a minority on the board, but we did manage to kill that values clarification program, values destruction, right? And so the next day, he calls me. I know him pretty well. We did get along, although we were on opposite sides. But he says to me, Charlotte, you wouldn't mind if we have a course in critical thinking and decision making, would you? And I said, I wish I could look you straight in your blue eyes, Tom. You know that's the same thing. And he said, uh-huh, you know. So anyway, this is what I'm talking about, you know, semantic deception. I mean, what parent doesn't want their child to be a critical thinker? They're going to say, oh, yes. I mean, I got in a lot of trouble on that at the board because they said, oh, is she crazy? She doesn't want our children to be able to think critically. Well, I knew what it was. That's what you call semantic deception. And you have to be very careful. Look at the words. Think of them. Look up their original meaning, etc. So anyway, then we go on to the Hegelian dialectic. I love this one because it's quite funny. Now, that's most people say, oh, who's Hegel? I think he's a little German professor or something. You know, I don't understand all that stuff coming out of Germany. Well, it's not complicated. And I'm going to make it very uncomplicated for you. It's sort of when, you know, when you want to get something, you have to create a problem. And then people scream. And then they impose a solution that they never could have gotten right. If they hadn't created the problem in the first place. Right?
It's also known as, well, the Hegelian dialectic, it's problem-reaction-solution.
Right.
That's an even easier
exactly.
Way.
So when people sometimes didn't understand me. And I finally said, well, when I was first married, I did laundry. Well, the kids were 5 and 7 years old, and I did some laundry for my husband, and I threw a red sweater in with this white shirt. And so, of course, he was not happy. And so he says to me, look, honey, don't worry about doing laundry for me anymore, okay? And so the boys heard this, and they said, yeah, Mom. We don't want you touching our laundry either. And so I never had to do laundry again.
God, that's funny.
And then I thought to myself, you know what? That's a Hegelian dialectic. What if I had never wanted to do laundry again? Isn't that what I do? Throw a red shirt in with a guy's white stuff. Hmm? And then they scream.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tell me, you know, let me do the laundry again. So the audience, I captured their attention there. Okay, that's the dialectic. Then we have the controlled, and now I have, didn't used to have this in, I have controlled satanic media. And we had David Rockefeller at the beginning of the century over in Baden-Baden, I think, giving a talk to the controlled media heads, the top guys, and thanking them for the wonderful work they'd done keeping the truth from us peons. Hmm? So that's the controlled media. I don't have to go into it. Your listeners know that as well as any of us. Then we have all the education fads. We call them fads. They're absolutely evil. That's a hard, very, very neutral word for them. Education restructuring, the Skinner method, of course, is key. The operant conditioning method, I could make a pigeon a high achiever by reinforcing it on a proper schedule. That's B.F. Skinner, the behavioral psychologist number one after Pavlov. That is controlling the world. And now a major, it's going in all over the world because of the computer. And the same Skinner said, the computer is my box. So your children... absolutely. And there's another quote from Dustin Houston, the head of World Institute for Computer Assisted Teaching, where he says that won't it be wonderful when the students can have the greatest curriculum and the benefit of the world's greatest psychologists on the computer, and nobody can get between the computer and the student. That means you, parent, are out of the equation. And then we have the technology moving on so that it can gather all the information like it is on all of us, not just students. So that is very, very important. Education, of course, as you know, Charlotte's always talking about the deliberate dumbing down of America, and that education is key, always key in any in the effort to install a totalitarian system. Then we have the Federal Reserve, any amount of money for whatever they want. That's why your school budgets are so high or whatever budget's so high. To them, they don't care because it's just that, you know, Mickey Mouse money, and they can print more anytime they want. And then we have, I talked about the brainwashing machine, which is Pavlovian Skinner method. Rewards. Once a student or a citizen now with the community-oriented policing system in your community, where they give little rewards to the members of the community who do good deeds to be determined by the police.
Yeah.
This system is throughout the country now, not just with cops, with everything else, you know. And I say, after 12 years, you used to talk about the students in regard to this. After 12 years of getting a smiley face, and now the computer is good for that and wonderful, smiley face after you get something right, they're right, in quotes, will you ever take a stand? Because these are government-designed objectives, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get the smiley face every time you get the right answer. After 12 years, it's unlikely you're ever going to stand up and take a stand for the wrong answer, which is probably the correct answer.
Uh-huh.
And the whole country will be totally controlled through behavior modification, operant conditioning. And that's very, very scary, and I think a lot of that has already happened.
And you know what? There's maybe another prong here. You could call it 5G, and we could talk about the new cellular network service that's coming. It's not 4G, it's 5G. And this is going to be the ultimate in direct and group mind, mental, emotional control. We'll talk more about this off air.
Exactly. So then we have I call it the COPS program. This is another prong, the East German Stasi program.
Mm-hmm.
Now that, you know, when I speak about it or write about it, which I did, you know, back 20 years ago, I guess. No, 15. Prior to my writing about it, because I had the experience with the police giving gold medals to citizens in my community who do good deeds, when I wrote about it, I thought to myself, I think I even said in the article, I don't think I'm going to get a gold medal for this article. But anyway, that is going to be used all over. Then we have the public-private partnerships. Now, I was a liaison with the White House under Reagan, who also signed the agreements with the Soviet Union to merge the two systems. But I was a liaison with the White House. Why they ever put me liaison with all these different groups, I will never know.
Huh.
Unless my boss didn't dare do what I was doing, so just let... gave me the jobs.
Sure.
But anyway, so I'm over in the White House, and they're all putting the public-private partnerships together, which have absolutely, totally unconstitutional. The corporations running our lives, involved with the government's bad enough. Huh? So anyway, I said, what is this you're doing here? I said, I don't understand. Here we are in this big room with these big stuffed sofas, you know, down and big peonies in crystal vases and all this stuff. And everybody's having a fine time. They're putting in the public-private partnerships. And so I asked that very, very, nasty question or whatever. And they said, oh, well, we don't think anybody ever looked at it like that. Well, are you kidding? Casper Weinberger was involved in it. Edwin Meese was involved in it. You have the left involved, the right involved, the church is involved. Everybody's involved. In my book, it's the whole list, about 150 people involved in that public-private partnership out of the White House. So then we got that. And then we have the endless, well, we've endless no-win wars for a long time. Don't have to talk about that. Diversion was added to the list. And diversion is as Common Core. And then we have the neoconservative Trotskyite traitors. And the lead one is the Heritage Foundation, which has
That's
since 1980, certainly, when Reagan came in. Everything changed under Reagan. The Democrats put their feet up on their desk and said, phew, we've done our job. We changed the kids' values. We've got all the programs in. We've got the regional government in and everything. Oh, let's leave it up to the Trotskyites. They'll do it. We can go out to lunch every day, you know, at the best restaurants. So that happened. The Trotskyites came in, we know their names, But Heritage is the leading one, and uh-huh. I have a lot of articles on that. You know, it's support for free NAFTA. It's support originally for socialized medicine. It's support for the community-oriented policing system. It's support for the U.S.-Soviet education agreements. It's support for school choice and charters. It's a support for regional government. I mean, please. That is just an unbelievable list that one would ordinarily attribute to the left. And they are the leading conservative, in quotes, organization in the country. Then we have both parties, of course, same mm-hmm. at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Carol Quigley was no lightweight. He was the editor of Foreign Affairs, a historian for the Council on Foreign Relations. And the book he wrote... what's it called? Tragedy and Hope. Yeah, I have it. I have an original copy. And on page, what, like 1,200? I haven't read the whole book because who can read 1,200 pages? But I have that quote marked where he said that we will use, you know, the way we get what we want mm-hmm. is both parties must be controlled at the top by our people. So both candidates will be our person.
Our
so
people.
You, Charlotte, or you, Jeff, or whoever in the audience goes to polls, thinks that they're going to get who they want, and they get who we want. So that was Quigley. And so I've got all these new prongs, and I've got to add them. I haven't got it up on the internet yet, but the old article is up there. And so this is how we've been deceived, basically, and how that came to me that day, I don't know. I just, maybe it's because I was feeling sorry for the audience who had to listen to me, like yours tonight. They hear this, I am the biggest broken record, and, you know, people sometimes wonder how I can remember a lot of things. Well, how could you possibly not? When all you do is talk about the same thing for 30 or 40 years.
Do you know there's a 50% on average, and this is for normal, intelligent American citizens, IQ 100, 105-ish, whatever. There's a 50% memory loss overnight, and at the end of 5 days, it's 97 and
what?
Above. Nobody remembers anything. It all goes away.
Well, they just have to, you know, regurgitate like Charlotte does.
Well, that's education now.
Oh, yeah.
Teach, remember, spit back, forget.
I'm a perfect example of a victim of my own philosophy.
That's funny.
I don't know why I'm laughing tonight, Jeff, after we had a hard day today, didn't we?
we did.
Yeah, I just love all your listeners. You're my favorite one. You're a good listener, too, you know.
I listen very carefully.
That's why you're such a good talk show guy.
Well,
I just hope and pray. We've got to, you know, even if you're not a believer. Pray.
No, positive thought, you call it whatever you want. Prayer?
Yes.
Positive thought, doesn't matter.
You have to go outside yourself and ask for help for our country, for our military, our police, for everyone, not just, you
we
know,
need,
white,
some kind
people,
of
everybody. We've got to get together and get along.
We need
or
intervention.
Or else they will destroy.
We need
they
intervention.
They are in the process of destroying the unity
Correct.
That this country always had. I love your neighbor.
First of all, you got to introduce yourself to your neighbor. You know how many people don't even know their neighbors? They just don't.
No, they don't. They go on Facebook and they think that they can take care of this love your neighbor on Facebook. And it's really easy. You don't have to cook dinner for your neighbor, do you? Just you can tell your neighbor you burnt toast.
Yeah. I just had another story up today. We are being invaded right now with the aid and complicity of the administration. Doesn't matter which one. They're all the same, basically. And the Congress and the courts. We're being invaded by... illegal aliens. We're bringing them in through the UN program. They're coming in on their own through whatever means they can come up with. We got 125 to 150,000 Somalis in Minneapolis. How many of them are there in Lewiston? I guess it's Lewiston, Maine.
Well,
they're taking over.
Portland is really bad, too.
They're taking it over.
You know, we have not a high population. I'm not sure. It's sort of 30, 40,000. I think that 10,000 are Somalis.
It's unbelievable. These people, but it's science. It's not me wishing it. They have IQs of around 60, 65. They have no interest whatsoever in adopting our values, our culture.
Yeah.
None. All they There's a story that they're sending out hundreds of millions of dollars worth of our welfare and grant aid to them back to terrorists back home.
Ooh, I haven't heard that one.
Oh, yeah, I'll send you the story. I got it up there. It's,
well, you know
it's
what's
bad.
Sort of interesting is what happened to ISIS? It sort of went away. I thought they were going to
Well,
take
we
over
created
the
ISIS along with the wonderful state of Israel, and it served its purpose, so they let it slip away.
I know. Went away. You remember how they had us all terrified, you know, for over 2 years or three? ISIS was going to eat up every single one of us and our children and our animals.
Problem, reaction, solution. And the solution was just to let it go away, and it just went away. It's not talked about anymore. That's how they do it. They create something in the media, and then they'll just walk it through to wherever they want it to go. It's crazy. Charlotte, you go get some rest. Thank you. That was a wonderful hour. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it, too. You need rest. You need rest too tonight, don't you? Huh?
We'll get some.
Hey, boy.
We'll
anyway, I hope people will go to that article on your website. We worked hard on that, didn't we, Jeff?
Yes, we did. We certainly did.
I'll never forget that.
Oh, no.
Okay, everybody, God bless you all.
Say hi to Sam.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Say hi to him. Thank you so much for the interview.
All right.
God bless all your listeners.
Thank you. Good night.
God bless America, and God bless all those veterans, the ones who died for our Constitution and the ones who are back who've been maimed. And God bless all those Americans out there that are still fighting the good fight.
Indeed. Well said. Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Charlotte Thompson is her beat, and we'll be back.